And good evening. Welcome. Great to see you. And welcome to this opportunity, this privilege again to serve our God together tonight. Let's, as we begin our time of worship, stand, please, for a call to worship. Read from Psalm 86, verses 8 through 10. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. It's our privilege to worship the one who is alone God. As we come to worship, as always, he promises that he greets us here. We hear together these words of greeting. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We begin with singing.
Good evening. Our first song is from the Red Hymn Book, page 300. All glory, laud, and honor, all the verses. Our second song is page 235, Take the Name of Jesus With You, all the verses.
Thank you.
next song is on page 353, Victory in Jesus. Please stand as we sing all the verses. Seated. Now we're going to sing from page 488, Just As I Am, all the verses. The third verse, if we could sing it a cappella, and then the fourth verse again with Laura.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm not Merle. I'm supposed to do it next week, and Merle was gracious enough to switch with me so that I couldn't be here next week, so I'm going to lead the prayer tonight. So before we go to God in prayer, are there any requests that you'd like to have that we bring to God? Yeah, do it. Okay. Thanks that the procedure that Lois had on Thursday, everything came out good. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Pat.
For the family in Milwaukee that lost that mom and two kids, tonight I heard of the news they found bodies.
Okay. That Amber Alert that was out looking for the mother and two children, and now they found the bodies today. On a brighter note, I heard Noah got home, huh? That's good. Yeah, Merle.
Brandon has a young man from his dorm that walked away the other night, and they haven't found him yet.
I heard that in the news this morning. That's from his dorm, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. At UWM, right?
Yep.
Brandon's going to UWM, and some young man from his dorm walked away, and they haven't been able to find him. And he's diabetic, too, right? Okay. Anyone else? Before we go to prayer, I just wanted to share a story with you. I'll try not to take too long. But, you know, Pastor Harv has been leading us in that study of Ruth on Sunday mornings and Naomi, and about hope and about trusting in God and the low point that they went to, and now how trusting in God, they're coming back. Many of you know that and that's the reason I won't be here next week either, is that I'll be at the Burke Center worshiping with the guys there. And we've been studying the life of Elijah over the last few weeks. And Elijah, similar to what Naomi went through, Elijah had that experience on Mount Carmel where fire came down from heaven and you know, God revealed himself, who he was, to all the people. And the very next chapter, Elijah is running for his life from Jezebel. And we talked about that, and we kind of threw it out there and said, was Elijah wrong? I mean, he had seen what God had done, and was he wrong for running? Shouldn't he have stood up? I mean, he stood up in front of all those people and all the prophets, and it was just Jezebel. And a lot of the guys talked about it, and yeah, you know, he was wrong. Why didn't he stand up? He should have. He had seen the power of God. He should have stood up. And another guy says, but he's human. He's just like us. He gets scared, and he ran. It's just like us. And so we talked about it, but and you know, came to the conclusion, yeah, I mean, Elijah should have trusted God more, but yes, he's also human, and he realized it took this experience also to realize how much he depends upon God. But it was after the meeting, and the guys had to get back to their rooms, and we had talked a long time, and we were getting close to count, and there wasn't much time left. But that one fella who had said, he's human, he waited for me. He says, I got to talk to you. He says, you know, I know what Elijah's going through. He says, I've been there. He said, my wife, he said, she had a procedure done, surgery, and she had to go in the nursing home for rehabilitation. And she was there for a while. But then when the rehabilitation was over, she was going to come home. And it was my son's birthday, and we were going to have a big party for her and his birthday. And so she came home, and we had this great party, and it was the most wonderful time. She was back home, you know. He said the next morning she died. A blood clot went into her heart. She died. He said, and I felt like Elijah said, God, why? Just take me too. I want to die. He says, my life unraveled after that. He said, but I'm coming back. There's hope. And I've found the hope. And I'm trusting God again. But he says, could you pray for me? Because this week, it's going to be my wife's birthday. And it'll be the third birthday that she's not around. He says, it's going to be tough. I saw him again now this past week. And he said, yeah, it was tough. But he said, I've got hope. And I'm coming back. I'm trusting God again. It just fits so well with all the stories that you've been talking about. It just has filled me. And if you think about it, say a prayer for Jerry. Yeah. What was his name?
Calvin.
Did you hear that? Keith delivered a skid loader this week to a guy by Oconomowoc, and he started talking with him, and he has a 5-year-old son that they found a brain tumor. But they were med-flighted him in, they removed the tumor, and everything is looking good at the present time. So I want to pray for them too. He actually attends Alto CRC. Okay. All right, let's go to our God in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God of hope, the God who gives us hope. Though we don't deserve it, though on our own we wouldn't ask for it, we wouldn't seek it, Lord, you come to us. You make yourself known to us. You change our hearts. You give us a new attitude, a new life, and you give us hope. Hope that in spite of all the things that happen in the world around us, everything that goes on around us, Lord, we have hope. And that can't be taken away from us. We are yours forever. We are safe and secure in your hand. No matter what we have to go through, you are there with us. And Lord, there are many here tonight who are experiencing difficult circumstances, hard things that they're dealing with. Maybe we aren't all aware of them. But Lord, we're struggling. May we feel your presence. May your Spirit lift us and help us as we deal with grief, as we deal with sorrow, as we deal with difficult relationships, difficult diseases, whatever it may be, Lord. Show yourself to us and strengthen us. Even through those hard things, Lord, strengthen us. Give us what we need to go on. Lord, we thank you too that you are a God who gives us joy. And Lord, we give thanks for those times of joy too. Lord, the fact that Noah got home safely. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for the experience that he had giving of his time to help drilling wells in Haiti, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity that he had and giving it to him. And Lord, thank you that he's home. Lord, thank you that Lois had a good report this week, that it went well. We heard this morning that Laura had a good report. Lord, thank you for that. But Lord, be with those for whom the reports are not always so good. And again, we think of Carly. And Lord, we pray for her. We pray that as the doctors decide in this week what to do, Lord, that you will grant them wisdom. And Lord, that you will provide healing and help them through this difficult road once again. Lord, we thank you that Karen could be with us this morning in church. Lord, that she felt well enough for that. Lord, continue to bless her and give her the strength she needs to deal with her cancer. Lord, help her, we pray. And bless the family as they provide support to. Lord, all of those who are dealing with cancer in our body of believers here, give them what they need, we pray. Lord, we pray too for those who are outside of our congregation, those things that we've talked about tonight here. We think of this young man that goes to school with Brandon. Lord, please, may he be found. May he be found alive and be able to get the medication that he needs. Lord, please. Lord, we thank you for this 5-year-old who was able to have this surgery and is doing better. Lord, thank you for the gifts of modern medicine. But Lord, we also think of this family in Milwaukee losing loved ones to violence once again. Lord, so much of that. Please, comfort and bring peace, we pray. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. Lord, there's just so much going on. And so much conflict and arguing and fighting. Lord, please, bring peace. Bring a desire to work together to get things done. Lord, we pray for those areas of our country that are experiencing hardship because of flooding once again, flooding and storms. Lord, please, seem to be always some area of our country that is going through a hard time because of it. And Lord, we pray for relief. Lord, we ask your blessing upon all of our activities in this coming week. Lord, we thank you for opportunities to serve. And Lord, we ask that you will bless us as we do so within our community, within our families, within the schools and the church, Lord, whatever it may be. And it doesn't have to be big things, Lord. The small things that you provide us opportunity where we can contribute, where we can give. Lord, help us to do that. And bless us in that in this coming week. Now, Lord, we again have opportunity to study your word. And Lord, we thank you for your word and how precious it is. Lord, help us always to find the time to read it, to hold tightly to those promises that you give us in your word. For Jesus' sake, amen.
And thanks, Al, for leading us in prayer and for telling us a little bit about the prison ministry as well. Appreciate that. I want to take some time to think tonight about a particular way that we are dependent on God. And I want to start by just remembering the importance of remembering that we are dependent. I thought of this just goes back a few years, but back when Kathy and I used to ride motorcycle then, I can remember one year in particular that the group that we were a part of in Victoria, they had a seminar, because usually most of us would put the bike away for the winter. I mean, sometimes you can ride there in the winter, but it's, you know, kind of sloppy and wet. And so from about end of October till March-ish, you just kind of put it away and forget about it. Well, then there was this seminar, and they got in an instructor and said, here, you can do some maneuvers and kind of up your skills a little bit because you haven't ridden for a few months. And it's really valuable in that kind of a time to think, okay, yeah, I've been doing this for years, yeah, I'm licensed and everything is, but I'm dependent, you know, I need to get help from other people, I need to get help from the instructor, I need to get my skills back, and I am dependent on help from others, and just to remember that. And it was a great day. It rained the whole day, didn't care, I was back on my bike again. You know, it was just a good time of getting back and learning from others. We are dependent in many ways. The way I want to talk about that we are dependent tonight is that we are dependent in prayer for God to help us to know how to pray. Now, in some sense, we have directions. I mean, there are some things that the Bible says about prayer. The Bible tells us things to pray for. The Bible gives us examples of prayers. Yet, there is a lot about prayer that we don't understand, and so we do need some help with that. So we're going to think a little bit from a couple of verses of how God helps us in that. I want to note that I'm getting a lot of help in my comments. So one of the people in our denomination that's helped me to think about prayer is Al Vandergreen. He's from Linden, Washington, and he's done a lot. He wrote the pamphlet Learn to Love to Pray. I don't know if that's familiar to anybody, and I'm not sure what else he wrote, but anyhow, he's been a help to me. So we're going to read from Romans chapter 8, and the verses that we'll look at are 26 to 27, but we're going to read 22 to 27. So let's stand to read God's word together. So starting with verse 22. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this privilege of worship. We thank you for your word that you've given us. We thank you for so many ways that you strengthen us as we depend on you. And tonight we thank you for your help in prayer. And we pray that you help us again by the power and strength of your Spirit to understand what you're saying to us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take your seats. So prayer is something that is difficult for us. In fact, it says in verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And it makes it clear that we have weakness. It doesn't say the Spirit delivers us from our weakness in that, just that he helps us in it, through it. Why is that? Al Vandergreen defines prayer this way. He says, prayer is the conversational part of the most important love relationship in our lives, our relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the conversational part of the most important love relationship in our life. Why then would it be difficult? And I think we can think of a few reasons. For one, when we pray, we're talking with someone that we can't see. And we're not used to that, because many of our conversations are face-to-face. Now, they're not all. I mean, we have conversations with people that we don't see in the moment because we're on the phone or we're texting or something, we're having some way that we're communicating words with somebody that we don't see their face. But we still, I mean, they respond back in words. I mean, it's the kind of conversation that we understand. That's a different kind of a conversation than when we're speaking with God, who, yes, speaks to us in his word and by his spirit, but it's a different kind of communication than what we're used to. And so that can be challenging for us. Prayer can be challenging for us because we live in a secular society. And that's a society that thinks, and maybe in some token surface sense, our society thinks of God, but yet not deeply. And so when we live in a society that focuses more on the surface, more on things we can touch and see, then it's difficult to, that has an effect on us. I mean, we then try to see things in a spiritual sense, yet one is always affected by their society, and so that has some effect on us. A third reason is just simply because we are weak, and there are a lot of components to our weakness. We have limited vision. I mean, we're speaking, conversing with the God of the universe, the God who created everything that we see. I mean, that's someone who's on a very different level than we are, and so that in our weakness, that is challenging. And we have other ways that we see our weakness. We have physical weakness. I mean, some of it can just be we're tired. Have you ever tried, if you have an early morning schedule, to get up and pray before that? Or have you ever made the mistake of trying to say, well, I'll pray when I'm in bed? I mean, how long does that last, right? We get tired. Or at night, I want to take time to pray, and yet I've had a long day, and I'm tired. And sometimes it's just physically problems with focusing. I mean, even if we don't, if it's not a time where we're going to go to sleep, have you ever had a time where you're praying and then you find your mind in just a completely different place? I mean, it's just, how did I get here? Okay, with just being human, we are weak. And we have spiritual weakness as well. I mean, there is sin that is part of our lives. We have this tendency to move away from God. And so there is a lot to our weakness. And then we have difficulty understanding how prayer even works. I mean, how does God do this? And that kind of strikes me in a lot of ways. Have you ever been to a developing country, and this happens in other places as well, but where I've been to places where for the prayer time in a church service, they just say, okay, go ahead and pray, and then everybody just starts to pray, and they pray out loud. You ever experienced that? I mean, it's really something, and it's just, you just hear, I mean, it sounds a little bit like maybe the foyer when everybody's talking out there, but it's, you know, even more so, and it's just this talking, and you sit there and you think, how does God discern all of that? I mean, he hears all those prayers? And what? Let's say somebody plans a picnic and somebody else has a crop. One person's planning for sunshine, the other person's planning for rain. Then what does God do? I mean, and that's interesting to figure out. And besides all that, God has everything planned anyway. So how does all of this work? I mean, and we're not, by the way, going to answer all those questions tonight, but I just want to make the point that there is a lot about it that we trust and believe it, but there are things that we just don't understand. It can be difficult for us. And again, it does not say that the Spirit removes our weakness, but he helps us in that weakness. Now, I don't say all those things to discourage us. I mean, if we stopped here, someone would say, well, yeah, you really made me want to pray, and you just told me why it's hard. And the goal is not to stop there. But sometimes when we see obstacles to something, just the honesty of it, it helps us to deal with that. And in this case, help us to see that God knows that, and he helps us in that. I mean, he made us. He knows how we are. And so he then, knowing that, has given us ways, and one of those is by the power of the Spirit, to help us in prayer. So, let's think about how does he help us a bit. And again, this is verses 26 and 27. Verse 26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." It starts out and it says, "likewise." And the "likewise" shows us that he's been talking about something that the Spirit does before that. If in chapter 8 of Romans, you go back to verse 16, it says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." The Holy Spirit helps us to know that we are in God's family. He helps us to have that assurance. And then if you go to verse 23, it says, "And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait for redemption." We have the Spirit with us, and he helps us to see that we wait for God's redemption. In other words, he gives us that hope, that understanding that God will bring the fulfillment, and the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to trust in that. He helps us to see we're in God's family and gives us hope. Likewise, in the same way, while we are walking through the stuff of life, he helps us to pray. So a couple of ways that it talks about, and one of those is that he helps us to know what to pray for. Verse 26 again says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought." As humans, that can be challenging. Now, there can be times that we do, but there can be times also that we will struggle with that. It says that the Spirit intercedes for us, and that word interceding can mean prompts us, helps us to know what to pray for. Part of the problem is that it can be hard sometimes to know what to pray in a complicated situation. For example, you are in a difficult situation at work. Do you pray that the situation changes, or do you pray that you'll have strength to be strong and keep going in the situation? What is the godly way to pray? That can be hard to discern. A couple of examples. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 8, says that this has to do with his thorn in the flesh, whatever that was. "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" And it seems that at least originally, Paul wasn't sure what to pray for. And he was praying for healing, and God said, "No, that's not the prayer. What you need, you just need my grace through this." Well, let's go to the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 25, Moses, you will remember, because of something that happened leading the Israelites, was not able to go into the promised land. And he would have loved to. So in chapter 3 of Deuteronomy, verse 25, it says this. Moses is praying, "Please let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that good hill country and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me because of you and would not listen to me. And the Lord said to me, 'Enough from you. Do not speak to me of this matter again.'" Makes it pretty clear. You're not to pray to go in there. This is the way it's going to be. Your prayer is just for them and that, you know, all will go well. But this is not going to happen for you. It can be difficult for us to know what to pray for. We can be in health situations. We can be in work situations, relationship situations. There is just so much that we don't understand the complexity of situations, and we don't understand all of what God is doing, that it can be difficult. Now, sometimes we do know, but sometimes it's difficult to know what to pray for. That's part of our weakness. And remember, when we think about weakness, weakness is not sin. It's just weakness. But God says the Spirit will give us guidance, and there will still be times that we'll search that out. But the Holy Spirit helps us to understand and discern as we walk that in those complex issues to begin to have an understanding of how do we pray in this situation. The other part of the verse says, we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, there's a lot of discussion about that, and some people say, so are we groaning, or is the Spirit groaning? Like, who's groaning? And so, there are differing opinions from what I'm going to tell you. What makes the most sense to me is that we are groaning, and the Holy Spirit just helps to kind of clarify that and make sense out of the times when we're trying to pray, or maybe we even can't. I mean, we're just lost in the situation. We don't know how to put it into words, and he does that for us. There's a lot of groaning talked about in this passage. Verse 22 said, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. This brokenness is painful, and there is a groaning that happens in the hurt of that. And there is some of that that we have a great difficulty putting into words. But the Holy Spirit helps us. It might be frustration with life, with the brokenness of life. It might be sin and the way that has affected us or someone in our family or a friend. It might be family troubles. It might be health issues. It might be work issues. I mean, there can be so many ways that we can see that brokenness. But it can just be something that maybe we can put into words and maybe we really can't. Eugene Peterson translates these words this way. He, meaning the Spirit, makes prayer out of our wordless sighs and our aching groans. He helps us to express and clarify what we can't express. When I think of this, it reminds me, one really early memory that I have, I don't know how old I was. I mean, I was walking around. I suppose I was talking, but, you know, didn't have a huge vocabulary yet. And I remember being in my grandpa and grandma's kitchen, and I was there with some family, mom or dad or both of them were there, and some of my uncles were there as well, and I don't know, some family had gotten together. So we're in the kitchen, and I saw my uncle. It must have been hot outside, whatever. And they came in, and they were drinking milk, and so they were, you know, putting down some milk. And I saw one of my uncles. He took a nice big glass of milk, and he just went like that and just downed it, and I thought, I just remember looking way up thinking, wow, that's how you do that, huh? So they gave me a glass of milk, and I did the same thing. But it didn't work as well for me. It was just like all over my face and all over the floor, and just like there went the milk. And they kind of looked at me like, we just gave you this glass of milk, and you just poured it all over your face. Like, and they're just asking, I wonder why he did that. And I remember thinking, I want to tell you why, but I don't know how. I mean, he did it. Why? And I just didn't have any words to say. And they're figuring this out and cleaning it up and just kind of talking about it. And finally, my uncle, who had chugged the milk, Uncle Denny was his name, he said, you know what? I just did that. And he was imitating me. And everybody said, oh, yeah. And I'm thinking, phew, that's it. You said it for me, and I couldn't say it. I wonder if prayer is something like that. I mean, there are times that I just don't have the words. I don't know what to say. But the Spirit puts it into words for me. He does what I can't. And I depend on him in that. He helps us to know what to pray for. And he turns those longings and things that we just don't know how to express, he puts them into words. And it says in verse 27, he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Father knows the mind of the Spirit, And so we can trust that when the Spirit puts that into words, it's going to be according to God's will. It will be something that is pleasing and that is as we should pray. It's done accurately and clearly and in a way that is powerful. He helps us to know how to pray. I think when we hear this, we can dare to pray through frustrations because we don't have to get it just right. We can express stuff and, yes, do the best we can, but it doesn't depend on our accuracy or how articulate we are. And it also means that I think that we can, in our prayers, part of that can be just to ask God to help us to know how to pray. John Piper, in this, in a message on these verses, said, you know, I think there are at least five ways that we can find encouragement in this. And I thought they were well said, so I just want to tell you what he said. These verses are encouraging for several reasons. One is they're encouraging because I'm not expected to know the will of God in every situation. And so God knows that I don't know that. And so I don't have to feel that that's an expectation. I can just pray as best I can, but when I don't know, trust the guiding of the Spirit. Second, it's encouraging because in our struggle with prayer, we are not being watched. We are being understood. And I find that really encouraging. God is not hearing my prayers saying, well, you got that word wrong. That's a no. I mean, it doesn't work like that. It's God is helping me. He knows my weakness and invites us into that to help us. It's encouraging, third, because God's work is not limited to what I can put into words. God's work is a lot bigger than what I'm going to be able to say and what we as a group can say. God's work is beyond that. And so God does lead us into prayer, and he works according to our prayers. But at the same time, he goes beyond what we in ourselves. And so he's helping us in that. And so it's not limited to what we can say. Fourth, it's encouraging because the Holy Spirit is praying for me and not against me. I mean, God is with us, understanding us, helping us in this. And fifth, it's encouraging because God the Father hears the prayers of the Spirit and answers yes. And so we can trust that God helps us. And when we pray in accordance with the Spirit and when he helps us, we know that the answer will be yes. We can hear in this that prayer is an incredible privilege. It gives us intimacy with God. It enriches us in our relationship with God. And God does promise that when we pray, he works. And so there is that dynamic that happens, and things happen when we pray. And we're invited into that, but in a sense, in a way that is dependent on him. I read a little piece from a missionary named Mary Slessor. She was a missionary to somewhere in West Africa. And she said this. She was asked the question, what does prayer mean to her? And she said, my life is one long, daily, hourly record of answered prayer for physical health, mental overstrain, for guidance given marvelously, for errors and dangers averted, for enmity to the gospel subdued, for food provided at the exact hour needed, for everything that goes to make up my life and my poor service. I can testify with a full and often wonder-stricken awe that I believe that God answers prayer. I know that God answers prayer. And I thought that was powerful, and that helps me to see the intimacy that we can come into in prayer. I mean, in a sense, also, one could hear something like that, and it could be intimidating, thinking, I don't know if I could pray like that. I think we have to hear it and realize we don't have to pray like someone else does. But God does call us into that intimate, close, trusting in him relationship. We're not perfect, But God calls us as we would call a child to have a conversation with them. He calls us into that, and he helps us in the beauty of prayer. God calls us tonight to depend on him in prayer. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the amazing privilege of prayer. And we thank you, Father, that you help us in prayer. We pray that you help us in joy to come to you in prayer, to trust in you, to be filled with the Spirit, to rely on your Spirit, and to take joy in that amazing privilege of speaking, of conversing with you. Thank you for your care for us, and thank you for this gift that you have given and the help that you give us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And we sing together, I Need Thee Every Hour. Of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. God who calls us into prayer, God who cares for us in the week, goes with us as we go out now. Together we hear these words of blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. And all God's people said, Amen.